Congregation, the text for this morning's our sermon is the first 14 verses of Ezekiel 37, but let me only read the last verse of this part, 14. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The vision of the dry bones. First, you'd like to tell the vision, then say something about the context, and then the meaning for today. So the vision of dry bones, the vision itself, what is the vision? Some details, just for the children to picture that. What did Ezekiel see in this vision? And in the context, why did the prophet Ezekiel see this? Why did the Lord gave him this vision? What's the purpose of that in the context of the chapter? And then also the meaning for today. So the hand of the Lord was upon me. See that? The hand of God was upon him and said, I would like to speak to you. I would like to have a meeting, a private meeting with you. The hand of God was laid upon him, cupped over him, I would say. Ezekiel? The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out. In a vision, he was not dreaming, but he saw something. The Lord's Spirit carried him out of the camp. He was in the camp in Babylon, the camp of prisoners. And that the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. He set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. You should know this. When in Israel was a war with horses and chariots, it was always in the valley, right? Horses don't do well in the mountains. And chariots, you can't use chariots uphill and downhill. So the valleys were often the places that the wars were fought. So think, for example, of the valley of Yezreel in the north of Israel. In the fork of the mountains, that they were fighting with those chariots and those horses and the soldiers, and it was cruel. They used bows and arrows and spears and swords. And after such a war, there are corpses everywhere, and nobody buries them. They just leave them there to deteriorate. And the vultures came, and the wild dogs came, and eventually there were only bones left. Only bones. And then the sun burned, and they were there for weeks and for months and for years. They were so dry, you could just easily break them. Absolutely dry bones, all disconnected. No skeletons, but here was in little finger pieces and wrist pieces and femurs and skulls and feet bones, and all scattered. It's very unorganized. All white, dead bones, human remains. Horrible to see. And Ezekiel was placed in this vision in the midst of such a valley. And he was almost stepping on those bones. And the Lord said, just walk around a little bit. He was walking around. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Absolutely many. And lo, they were very dry. So Ezekiel, he looks at that. He's standing there. He looks at the valley. It's white bones everywhere around him. And then the Lord said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? What would he say? What would Ezekiel answer? Of course not. They can't live. That's impossible. We would expect him to say no. But you know, he was a child of God and a prophet, and he knew better, and he answered differently. And he answered, Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. It's in God's hands. He kind of felt it is possible with God. And we recommend him for that. He believed that. Lord, thou knowest. And again, the Lord spoke to him and said, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O dry bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's strange. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. Talking to such dry bones, they have no ears, they have no... There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. They are dead. And not only dead, but they are only bones, and only dry bones, and only very dry bones. You don't talk to those dry bones. But the Lord said, Prophesy. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let me just tuck this in. It's not on my sketch, but later on it is. But let me just insert here that sometimes our ministers feel and parents feel talking to the walls. Talking to dry bones, talking to people who would never even listen. This goes over their heads. And there is that resistance. And yet the Lord says, preach, preach, prophesy, talk, say something. Parents, grandparents, elders, deacons, say something. Missionaries on the mission fields, just speak to dry bones. Thus say the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I am going to do a wonder. I will put a breath in you, breath, air, wind, spirit, all the same word in Hebrew. So many times you find that same word in this chapter. Breath, wind, spirit. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Did you see that? How that sixth verse ends? And you shall know that I am the Lord. Maybe you won't pay attention to that sentence. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. What do you think? How many times is that in Ezekiel? That sentence. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. How many times? Guess. 10? No. 20, no. 30, no. 40, no. 50, no. 60, no. 70, closer. 75. 75 times. That must be a very important sentence, right? Otherwise, he won't say that 75 times, that ye may know that I am the Lord. That's a covenant sentence. That's a sentence indicating that the Lord continues to raise dry bones, to give life to people. Why? Why? That they may know that I'm the Lord. To impress them that I am the Lord, that they would give me the glory and the honor of it, and know and experience this, not know intellectually, but that they may really know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. So in that vision, Ezekiel obeyed and he started prophesying to those dry bones. Although in a sense it was futile, he obeyed and he knew that God was powerful. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied as I prophesied, there was a noise. It doesn't say what noise, but I think that's not difficult to interpret. Rattling noise, all those bones clicking together, this all together at the same time. All those bones start moving and clicking and rattling. And all those unorganized bones become skeletons again. And those bones know where to go. So they make joints and elbows and shoulders again, and everything is in place. And behold, the shaking and the bones came together, bone to his bone. See that? In verse 7, bone to his bone. And then I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. Can you visualize that? All those skeletons, the sinews and the flesh, the muscles came in it. The skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. So you see all those corpses now. Perfect corpses, no limbs missing. I see the fair skin of those people, but they are still dead. Let me insert something again that was not in my sketch. Maybe that's you. Bones together, sinews in place, the muscles, the skin. It looks so good. You're so sound. You're behaving so well. It looks fantastic. You look like a Christian. You look like a member of the church. There's no life in there. And then I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. No breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, unto the spirit, unto the breath. Prophesy to the wind from the four corners, because the wind comes from all different places. You don't know where it comes from. Prophesy, said a man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. It's obedience, obedience, obedience in this chapter. He is doing it as a prophet. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And you see the chest going up and down, and they are inhaling and exhaling, and they opened their eyes, and they stood up, seated in the valley. All those bones have come together, have become corpses, there's life, and they stand up. upon their feet an exceeding great army. It's a huge amount of people standing in that valley. They were dead and they're alive. See? Now, what does this mean? I guess if I would ask you to come with some ideas on what this means, you would say, well, by nature we are dead. Only the Lord can do it. He can make alive. And we need the preaching of the word for that. And I think you would go into that direction. And that's not wrong per se. We'll come back to that. But I think there's more. There's a specific purpose and reason why the Lord said to Ezekiel, this is the vision, and you prophesy to those bones. What's the background? Well, the people of Israel were in captivity. And they had heard that Jerusalem was destroyed in the meantime. And they were so down, depressed. Those were very dark times, and they had no hope anymore. No hope anymore. What's the sense? Where is God? He has forgotten us. See that? That's in verse 11. Yes, there it is. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. So that was the frame of those people. We have no hope. Our hope is lost. Our bones are dried. From our side, it's a hopeless case. And they did not know what to do. You know, we see something similar in chapter 33. Verse 10, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, I've heard it, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, we pine away in them, how should we then live? See? So this vision is an answer to the despondency and despair of the people. Because those people said, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. So let me come close with that. Anyone given up today? Has no hope anymore? I'm too old. I'm too cold. I'm too hard. I've sinned against better knowledge. I feel in captivity. I feel my bones are so dry. No, this is not people that are convinced of their sins. It is not the work of the Spirit. You have to distinguish between two types of despair. There's the despair of God's people. God's people, and they have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and they see that they've sinned against all God's commands. There's a grieving in their hearts, and they're poor and needy. That's the work of the Spirit. Men and brethren, what shall we do with the hunger for God? That's not what it is. There's no hunger for God. There's nothing like that. It's so dry, so hopeless. They are lost, they have no hope. We sometimes notice that with elderly people. They are cold sometimes. They are hard sometimes. They have calluses on their soul sometimes. And they don't cry about that. They don't long for God. They are dead. And that's the focal point this morning. You say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, they're cut off. And the Lord says, no. The Lord says, there is still hope for the oldest and the coldest and the hardest person in church. People that don't care anymore. And just leave it alone. You know, back to that chapter 33. Our sins be upon us, we pine away in them, how shall we then live? The answer is, say unto them, as I live, say the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No pleasure in the death of the wicked. See that? It doesn't say I have no pleasure in the death of my people. I could understand that. But the Lord doesn't say I have no pleasure in the death of my people and of them seeking me and hungering for me. But the Lord says I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that he turn, that the wicked turn from his way and live. You know, that's the gospel. The gospel not for them that seek the Lord, but for them that don't seek. For them that don't care. So therefore, prophesy, verse 12, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. See? So those people felt buried, felt in their graves, felt beyond hope. And the Lord says, I will get you out of your graves. I'll bring you back to Israel. I will do that. I promise. So this is a prophecy about returning from the captivity, returning from Babylon, back to Israel, building the temple again, and you will be in your land. Because what do you think, why? Why did the people of Israel come back from captivity? The Lord Jesus was not born yet. And in a way, he had to come back out of Babylon. And he had to be born in Israel, in Bethlehem. That's the background. Behold, O my people. My people, the Lord says, you're still my people. Even those wicked ones. The Lord says, you're still my people. Covenant people. And I'll bring you to the land. You know, let me say it again. Verse 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. See that? We saw it already before in this chapter. One of those other 75 times, that ye may know that I am the Lord. So the Lord receives the glory. And he says, I do it alone. I can do it myself. I was thinking not only about people hard and cold, but also thought of parents being really concerned about the children, younger ones, older ones, grandchildren. Concerned. Why concerned? Well, let me just give some answers. Why some parents are concerned. I hear parents saying, he's always in church. He's always listening. He reads his Bible. He is not partying. He's never drunk. He does not watch the movies. He's an example kid. But I'm so concerned because he is spiritually dead. And that bothers me so much. He is such a well-behaving child, but he is like a corpse. He's dead. And I pray about all that for years and years and years, and he's just sitting in church and just listening and nothing happens. And I begin to lose courage that if something happens to him, that it's lost. Well, parent, look at this word. The Lord can do it. And keep going. Keep asking. Keep pleading with the Lord. He's an almighty God, and sometimes you may feel discouraged about your children and others, but the Lord is above that. He can change that like that. It's not difficult for the Lord. And I hear another parent. My girl is so legalistic. She's so precise on very little traditions. And she pushes that so hard. She tries to be saved by works, I believe. It's overdoing it. It's hard. And that pride, that unbrokenness, it's hard. And I cannot break that heart. I cannot change his or mind. But you know the Lord can. He is able to. You see it in this chapter. And I hear a parent saying, my children don't come to church so faithfully. And they don't care so much. Or maybe not at all. And therefore, if nothing happens, nothing happens. I'm discouraged. But you know, don't expect salvation from your boy, from your girl, from your child, younger or older. Just give up on them. But don't give up on God. He's the Almighty One. And bow your knees and plead and say, Lord Almighty, do it. Be first, be last, and interfere and draw them out of the miry clay and put sinews on them and flesh upon them and skin upon them and breathe the Spirit in them and draw them out of the darkness and to thy light. It's the Lord's work. You know, this also has a context. Look at 36, chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So, those dry bones coming to life is also the heart of the covenant. The Lord doesn't only say that he can save, and he's willing to save, he shall save. That's our hope and expectation. He shall save, and he will not save everyone, right? That's hard. He's free and sovereign. But he continues, though, not depending upon people. And he will put his spirit within people and cause them to walk in his statutes, and they shall keep them and do them, and they shall dwell in the land. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. I will call you for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And in the background all the time, that they may know that I'm the Lord. Well, that is the response. Not only of parents when they see that the children change and that the Lord intervenes, but also for people personally, that they may know that I'm the Lord. And therefore, I would say, keep courage. Think of those dry bones and show the Lord this chapter for yourself, for your children. Say, Lord, here it is. Ezekiel 37. Think of my boy. Think of my girl. Think of my children. Lay before the Lord. And keep praying. You know, sometimes parents give up and say, it's hopeless. And at first I prayed for her, and I prayed for her. I don't pray for her so much anymore. Why not? Because it is so impossible. Just keep praying. And you know, also keep saying something. Keep saying something. You say, well, they only get mad. Yeah. That's sometimes unavoidable. But speak to the dry bones. Speak. Some people say, I don't speak anymore. There are even people working in Israel, among the Jews, do gospel mission among the Jews by doing things and not saying anything. They say, let us be examples, and maybe they will ask then why you're doing this. Then you can talk. That's not biblical. We should not only be examples, we should talk and bring the gospel, the word of God. And that's also in mission work in town. We can help the homeless and do things for them, but the word of God needs to be brought to them, to the dry bones. And not only dry bones in church and in town, on the mission field, but also among the Jews. Jews in Vancouver, Jews in Richmond, Jews in New York, Jews in San Francisco, Jews in Jerusalem, Orthodox Jews, secular Jews. And the Lord speaks, there will be an army. There'll be a huge amount of them. Read for yourself today Romans 11. And you'll see it. And the Lord says, I will fulfill this. I will fulfill this promise that many more from the Jewish people will be saved from the wrath of God and come to their senses, and I will lay sinews upon them and flesh upon them and skin upon them, and I will breathe upon them, and they will stand on their feet, and there will be an army, a host of them. Young people, lay your hand on this chapter and wrestle and bring it for the Lord. Say, Lord, this is the work I need. And don't let go. And you feel so dry, and you feel so bony, and you feel so cold. The Lord can change that. Or if you are swinging the complete other side, or being so pious and proud, lay a hand on this chapter and say, Lord, teach me who I am, that I may know that thou art the Lord. The Lord continues. He's not finished yet. In spite of all impossibilities, the Lord is the living God, a covenant God, a family God, and he is not finished yet. Amen. Almighty, all-sufficient Lord God, we beseech thee to do miracles among us, in our town, our country, in this world, on the mission fields, among the Israelites, the Jewish people, that we may be stunned and know experientially that the Lord is God. That may stand in awe and say, the Lord did it. He was first, and he is last. He is the covenant Jehovah. Lord, we acknowledge thee for such a chapter in the Bible. We acknowledge thee for such a hope given, and may it also be our personal experience. Give also more and more place, more room in the heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, his body did not decay, it could not, and he rose from the dead, and through his resurrection, we also will be resurrected. Oh, Lord, we ask thee, give that we may belong to that people, that army before the throne, giving glory to the Lamb. Be with us the rest of this day. Bring safely back to church. In Jesus' name alone, amen.